Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Daily News. I am Ross Chanley. This is Jack Gill. We're here to bring you some Liverpool rumours, news, and a little bit of bullshit as well. But first of all, before we kick off with some news, I just want to draw your attention to RedmanTV.com. I know we do this every day and we plug it in and throw it down your throats, but it is really good and we're really proud of what we do on there. So the Iran League show has gone out this morning, me, Ben, and you, wasn't it? Went in depth on some other bits and stuff. We talked about Wolves. It's nice to talk about other stuff. Apart from Liverpool, sometimes I have a little bit of a break and kind of see what everyone else is up to. It's not often that we look below first place in the Premier League to see what's going on. It's a couple of surprises and where people are up to in there. So we've got some other stuff coming out today as well. We did a Reds transfer roundup. We talked a bit more about Timo Werner and some other bits. It's all downloadable on your podcast player as well, so you can download it and listen to it on the go, not use all your data. Your first month is completely free, as you all know by now, and then for it's £5 after. If you don't like it, just cancel it. That's fine. Okay. Breaking news, actually, which has come out in the past half an hour. Paul Joyce, the gospel of all, you know, Twitter, the Twitter sphere, isn't he? Well, yep. He's our favourite, Paul Joyce. He said that Liverpool have told AS Roma and Sevilla they will not loan Jurrien Shaqiri this transfer window. It is likely Liverpool to seek €30 million for any permanent deal in the summer. I mean, two things for this. I'm glad that he's not going because I think that we need him. I think it's been frustrating that he's been injured and on the periphery of the squad, and I think again at the weekend he wasn't even in the matchday squad because of an injury, but also his qualities there. Liverpool need bodies in the next 4 to 5 months for the Premier League, for the Champions League, for the FA Cup and all the competitions that we're in. But also €30 million in the summer, I mean, that's double what we paid for him.
Yeah, exactly. We spoke about it earlier, didn't we, on the Reds newsroom this morning. We're making double the money. He's hardly got in our squad when he's been here. Obviously, when he first came, he made a big impact. There were games like the United game where he came off the bench to win the game for us and get Jose Mourinho sacked. But this season, is that why
you keep him for a little bit more?
Yeah, just keep him. But it's like I said earlier, you know, the longer we keep him and he doesn't get used, the more likely that fee is going to come down.
Yeah.
So I think it's the summer would be the perfect time to sell Shaqiri for me, upgrade him. We've doubled the money for him.
Yeah, a couple of reasons on top of the injury stuff of maybe, you know, I think early in his Liverpool career, he wasn't quite tracking him back, was his frustration with Klopp, why he wasn't game time. Mm. I think he's probably one of the only players in that Liverpool side you could argue that isn't as versatile. So, you know, if you're playing him, you're going 4-3-1, you're changing, you know, your complete formation, he isn't, you know, you could probably put him on the left, but he's not as effective out there. And it also strikes to me, they're willing to let him go. And I'm just speculating, does that mean someone else is going to come in that place? Or the likes of a Curtis Jones, Harvey Elliott, you know, some of the youngsters that are going to push him for his place. But as with this and any other subjects, Tom was taking questions and comments to get them in. We'll come to them at the end of the show. Moving on, you've probably seen this by now, but Kylian Mbappe has been interviewed by the BBC and he spoke of Liverpool. He did a little bit on Real Madrid, but I was going to go down and find you the Liverpool quotes. It says, Mbappe, however, was full of praise for Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp, describing them as a very good team with a very good manager. He said, what Liverpool do in this moment is amazing. They're like a machine. They found a rhythm and are like we play again. They've lost 0 games. When you watch, you think everything's easy, but it's not that easy. The guys are focused. They play games every 3 days and they win. Now the problem is that everybody watches Liverpool and everybody watches what we can do against them. So now they have to show they're strong again, but it's a very good team with a very good manager. Now, we've spoken about Mbappe lots on this show and other shows, and I've been in the camp of I would absolutely love him. it would cost a lot of money, and I wouldn't want him in the fact that we had to break our wage structure, because I think that just undoes a whole lot of other stuff. And I come round to the thing of, you know, it was Kai Havertz last week and Timo Werner this week and yesterday in particular. I'd be more than happy with Timo Werner, and I kind of forgot about Mbappe. Then this happens, which has no tangible reason to the fact that he's linked with Liverpool, but you can't help but go, oh, come on, mate, just stop.
Yeah, he's flirting with it, isn't it? It's like when he says he plays with us on FIFA, just little things like that are going to get us excited. And
but it's possible for someone to appreciate a good Liverpool side, or any other team for that matter. I just compliment him, and I mean nothing by it.
Everything he said are absolute facts, you know, like Troy Deeney could come out and say that and nobody would be asked whatsoever, do you know what I mean? But the fact that Kylian Mbappe said it, look, he is the dream sign, and it's like you say, if you don't want Mbappe, it's because of the way structure. He would improve our team even more than it already is, and it's just sensational. And for a player of his calibre to recognise what we're doing at the minute is equally as good, whether he wants to move to the club or not. For him to say them words is brilliant and shows the level we're at the minute.
Have you ever been off the Mbappe, hashtag Mbappe 2020 train?
I am firmly on that train, full speed ahead, let's go.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're much better than Northern Rail, which we've been getting the past couple of weeks, which are terrible. Moving slightly on, Manchester United have been charged by the FA for player conduct in Liverpool defeat. Not so much a Liverpool story, I just wanted to remind everyone that we beat Manchester United at the weekend, because it's dead funny. But obviously, you know, the reaction to the Bobby Firmino goal, which obviously got disallowed in the end, I think it's right. In fact, there's two things to this. Obviously, it's wrong the way that they reacted, but also, if this was to happen again, I think it also ultimately feels sorry for the players, because they're playing on emotion. But that decision's wrong, isn't it? Sorry, the initial decision is wrong, which they kind of reacted.
I disagree. I think that it doesn't matter on the decision that was made, because it is a matter of opinion. And VAR is... Craig Pawson could watch that tackle over and over again and think what you and I think, that is not a foul. Yeah. And for me, the way they've reacted, the way David De Gea has gone screaming at him, he's put his hands
on
the
ref. Yeah, no, I'm not condoning that, but I mean, you talk about taking the emotion out of the game since when they do it with VAR and take goals away. If David De Gea thinks he's been fouled, of course he's going to be angry.
I can completely understand his anger, but I think the way he's gone about it is totally wrong.
He was right in his face,
I've grown up with United teams over the years doing this for years, where they swarm the ref and they're just horrible, aren't they?
Yeah, Liverpool players don't do that at all, do they?
No, we're good.
Jordan Henderson shot bullshit every 5 minutes.
No, he doesn't.
Okay, fine.
It's just United.
Okay, we'll move on. As mentioned before, Timo Werner. Bear with me on this one, because this is a translated page. It's dead funny. It's from El Desmarque. Talking about Timo Werner. There's a couple of other stories that they've done, and just to see how bad the translation are. One of the stories says Klopp assaults the house of Mourinho. Take that what you will. But obviously, I think Real Madrid have been touted. It's been in conversation with Timo Werner, as have others. But there's a quote here. Sorry, so he's got 20 goals in 18 games in the Bundesliga and 3 goals in 6 games in the Champions League. However, it seems a German striker will not go to Real Madrid at the end of the season, since he would have a pre-agreement with Liverpool by Jurgen Klopp, who's looking for the centre forward with more than one goal for Firmino. I mean, it's literally a throwaway comment, but a pre-agreement with Jurgen Klopp. I mean, don't take this by any means. Like, it's not a reputable source. I just thought it was quite funny, the fact that they've gone in there, not backed it up. Not cited anyone, but also it wouldn't surprise me if there was something not directly from them.
I think that's a mistranslation. I don't often believe this, because remember after the summer when apparently Mane had a pre-contract agreement with stuff like that. Werner, listen, he's on fantastic form. Nagelsmann's getting the best out of him, but I would love him at Liverpool. I really would. Young player as well, but I just can't see it happening. I said earlier, I think he's the sort of player for me that has Bayern Munich written all over him.
It's a well-trodden path, that, from Leipzig to Bayern Munich as well, isn't it?
And I Real Madrid as well, I can see that happening. Benzema's getting old now.
Yeah.
Jovic, apparently they're not happy with him already. They want him offloaded.
But also, if Real Madrid want Kylian Mbappe as well as his rumour.
They're not having him. He's coming to us, mate.
But if he doesn't, Jack, if he doesn't, that's a lot of their transfer budget gone to maybe go somewhere else. As we mentioned on the show before, you know, Chelsea want a decent forward. Arsenal want another decent forward, because, you know, either rooms believe Aubameyang wants out. Man United need a striker, because, you know, they're relying on a teenager who's now injured. You know, Tottenham probably, maybe if Harry Kane's out for a long period of time, they might want someone else in there. So there'll be a lot of people after Timo Werner, maybe it's Liverpool. In fact, let's have a little game in the comments. Let's say Mbappe or Werner, who would you prefer to have?
Both. Why not both?
Oh, both. Yeah, okay. I see that. Someone else who's been mentioned is Jack Grealish. Stan Collymore has been talking and says that he should choose Liverpool over Manchester United. Quoted in the Birmingham Mail, he said, Collymore said, I know I'm biased towards Jack Grealish, but the stats don't lie. And for him to become the first English midfielder to register 15 goals and assists since Frank Lampard in 09-10, in an average to poor team, is a superb effort. His talent deserves a better platform. And if you just stick him in that Liverpool midfield and let him service their magic for the front three, the kid could be one of Europe's most effective midfielders and have an England team built around him. Forget Manchester United. He'll be waiting 5 years to reach the level he could get at Anfield. Does he have a point?
No.
Okay.
Don't take it off Jack Grealish. He's a good player. He is a good player. But I think this Liverpool team is a lot better than Jack Grealish. And I think in terms of his attitude, he wouldn't suit us at all. I think he is the sort of person that enjoys being the star. He seems to love it. And I think if he comes into this Liverpool squad and just sits on the bench most of the time, he'll cause problems. And I don't think he'll be willing to do the sort of role that Shaqiri does, that Origi does, that sort of role.
He might fall behind some other people as well, mightn't he? Last story, before we get to some of your comments, Joe Gomez has done a little piece talking about Virgil van Dijk. He says, I'm buzzing for Big Virg. Everyone knows how happy I am when he scores, and it's nice for us to put some good work in training those set pieces when they come off. I don't think it's easy to measure what he does for us as a team. He's such a dominant character, a dominant player. He's a special player, and we're lucky to have him at the club. He's my big brother. He's a top player, a top person to be alongside. Now, most of that stuff we kind of already know, but I think Tom suggested we put this in the agenda, and he had a good point in the fact of that partnership between those two and what they've got. The development, I think, I've always been a big advocate of, you know, keeping that centre-back partnership as good as you can, as close as you can, because I think you need that communication, the understanding and stuff like that. But for Gomez to not only learn off him on the pitch, but off the pitch, I think it's quite good in terms of, you know, the leadership roles that he gets. You know, when it comes to, I don't know, 5-6 years time and or maybe longer, Virgil eventually leaves, he's instilling all of that into Joe Gomez, isn't he?
I'm glad we've been able to talk about this, because for me, with often when you have players who, like Van Dijk, one of the best players in the world right now, you sometimes worry about life after them, like how are we going to replace them? But I think Gomez is a ready-made replacement right there as well. And I think the fact that they've built such a good partnership together too, he's learning so much off Van Dijk week in, week out. And we saw once he recovered from his injury, it took him time to get back in it. But now they're in full flow and we look so, so, so good defensively again at the minute.
Just look at the clean sheets.
Yeah,
it's
unbelievable.
Dan Hendo Designs has just tagged me and Jack and both something. It was a picture of Mbappe from his interview he did with the BBC. And it's just the end of it. He said, at the end of the season, we will see. But now I'm focused on my game. Gee, little tease, isn't he? Who knows what he's doing? Right, some comments, Tom.
Just quickly, on that Virgil and Gomez stuff, Chris is doing the stats and tactics. And he's going over the set piece. And it's just go and watch it. It's quite interesting. Gomez is talking about the work and training. Gomez has a big part to play in that. Anyway, we're moving on. Shaqiri thoughts. Joey Murray says, I think €30 million for Shaqiri is a bargain. Wouldn't be surprised to see Michael Edwards get around €40 million for him, though.
But no, you wouldn't be surprised. I think, you know, you can criticise him for his lack of game time and everything that he's done, but also he's, you know, the teams that he's played at, you know, Bayern Munich, Inter Milan, Stoke, Liverpool, but also, you know, he's developed in that time at Liverpool. I said before, it's frustrating with the injuries that he's had. But he's ultimately a Champions League winner. At the end of the season, he might be a Premier League winner. He might be a Champions League winner again. You don't know all the stuff that kind of is in his stock. You think, well, actually, Michael Edwards has gone to the thing. He's well better than
that. Michael Edwards could go to a corner shop and come out with the shopkeeper's wife. He could do anything. So, okay. Go for it.
Yeah, okay, turn another like one.
On the other side of the coin, Stronger Civilian says, come on, show some respect to Shaqiri. Other than our front three, he produced the most goals last year. I had a look into that, just to have a look at the stats. He didn't score the most after that from three. He got 6 goals and 5 assists last season.
I don't think there's any disrespect towards Jean Shaqiri at all, particularly not on my part. I think he definitely has a role to play towards the end of the season, but also if he wants to leave and someone's coming in for a bit, I think he has to look at his own career.
Yeah.
Sometimes go, well, I'm coming on for 5 minutes here, a minute there. The other week, he was supposed to come as a sub and never even made it on. I agree with the comment. I think he's important to have in this Liverpool side. And I don't want him to go.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you know, it's either a business decision or a career decision based on his behalf. or is someone else going to come and he's going to push the front three a little bit more? Because there should be times where he should be playing a lot more football.
For me, how I see it is when he first came in last season, there was a period when he was outstanding.
Yeah.
It's just that he's been unlucky with picking up injuries. It's like you say, defensively, in the setup, he doesn't work in that sense, in my opinion. And I think actually doubling our money for a player that doesn't seem to be getting in the squad that much this season for numerous reasons, I think is very good. And I think he's a player that we will miss, but a player that we can replace.
Exactly, and the replacement's the key thing. If you're going to just get rid of him, I think you're right, that is disrespectful. But you're going to get rid of him, someone else is either going to either come in and replace him, or one of the youth players is going to push him. If Harvey Elliott doesn't...
And that's what I see. I see Curtis Jones and Harvey Elliott coming through and think, you know what, mate, 30, 35 million going and progressing
and
your career.
You've not 30 million euros off your Mbappe fee as well.
Yeah, there you go.
Last one, Joseph Rorschthorne. Rorschthorne, yeah. He says, there should be red cards for players that get in the ref's face the way the United players did. We should have respect for the refs.
There's loads of things that have changed on that. You've seen a couple of clips. I think there's one about a month or so ago from the Australian League, but there's one that went way back then. He might the refs up and people on the TV can hear what's going on. You can hear the communication. I think that would eradicate a lot of stuff. I think you do swearing, although we joked about it, we don't obviously condone it from professional footballers. And referee, I think they just get so much more respect because sponsors wouldn't have players swearing in face for referee. We know it happens every time it comes on, you know, Sky or BT to go, well, we apologise for someone who said whatever. But also, I think if the referee made a decision based on that, then the players can't argue because what you're supposed to do is move on with the game. There's other examples of it, you know, I don't watch rugby, but like the respect they have between the players and the referees in that, it's just like, well, I made a decision, jog on. And if you argue with them, they go, get off.
There is no respect in football. And
but know, also, sorry, I think the standard refereeing has to be better as well.
I'd completely agree. You know, I do bits of refereeing, and look, it's a problem that comes
referees
up.
Referees are wankers, aren't they?
Yeah, we are. but it's one of them where it's a problem that's right from grassroots in terms of respect for the officials. And I know it in the lower leagues, in terms of where I officiate, they're trying to sort out the sin bin rule. So at the minute, if there is a dissent booking, it's a 10-minute sin bin. That's what they've used this season. I don't think it works, but it just shows that they're trialling things to try and improve respect in football.
Well, so it could do, doesn't it, ultimately? Because, you know, if you're going on sidelines for 10 minutes, your team's down, a player, so therefore your manager's going to get them.
But it's how referees use it. Referees use it wrong as well, in my opinion. But
I mean, just a thought on that. Think about El Clasico. That's what happens every time, every foul, and every massive name. So all the kids that are coming up are going to learn off Ronaldo and Casemiro and these types of players going, that's what we need to do. It's not right, is it?
No, they're setting a bad example. But, you know, it's hopefully something, again, that the FA, the Premier League and all the governing bodies should work on. But also I think the other important thing is, you know, a lot of stuff could be helped sometimes if the referees' decisions and VAR decisions were a bit better. Anyway, we'll leave it there. We'll be back tomorrow with some more news. Don't forget to leave all your comments, like the channel, subscribe, and we'll be back tomorrow. Sarah.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.